Dillon Brothers has the best selection of new and used bikes in the heartland. What are you waiting for? They've got the bike. Make 2017 the year you grab your freedom. Dillon Brothers. Grab your freedom. Come on, let's
ride. Former Blackshirt.
As soon as I took that jersey, I had a responsibility to play to the same level as the Cedar Brothers, as Jay Foreman, as all those guys that I watched growing up. And I think that's what's really cool and special about the Blackshirt.
Former Super Bowl champion.
It's unbelievable. I mean, to go 13-0 and now to win a world championship.
And most importantly, weekly guest on Game Time.
And Scott Stanley made the tackle.
Scott Stanley's my guest.
They've done a good job of saying we have a pretty good athlete quarterback, and we're wasting him by dropping him back and throwing the ball 40 times a game.
Former Husker, Super Bowl champ, Scott Stanley.
That's where you say, hey, guys, they have one explosive guy. We have 11 guys. Don't let one guy beat 11.
Scott, what's up, man? How you doing?
It was one of the proudest days of my life. Nebraska kid wanting to play football for Nebraska. And
Scott Stanley joins Nick now on Game Time.
Oh, man, what a pop there by Scott Stanley, a rookie linebacker from Nebraska.
I like the sound of that. I love the sound of that.
It's been a few weeks since we caught up with this guy. Scott Stanley joins us now on our Hardee's Hotline. Scott, how was the family vacation?
Hey, it was really good. Good to be back. Feeling refreshed.
Good.
The vacation was really good. It was always fun to get away. Kids just got out of school not too long ago, so we got away for a while and refreshed and
there
ready to
go
hit the rest of the summer.
The kids hung in there. There weren't any like major travel issues or kids freaking out or anything like that. Everything went smooth.
No, I'll tell you what. The one thing about technology now, it's not like when I was little and I was riding in the back of the car and my entertainment was looking out the window. they have plenty of things to occupy themselves, but even they got sick of the phone sometimes and actually looked outside. So
How about that? Scott Stanley's my guest. Hey, it's been funny. I've been having a little fun with the different news things that have trickled out about. I think Eddie Lacy has some different weight bonuses in his contract, where if he weighs under this amount, he gets a $50,000 bonus or whatever. Did you have any fun bonuses in your contracts when you played at all like that?
No, I think the one bonus that I had that started really about the time I started playing was the off-season voluntary workout, showing up for those workouts and getting paid a bonus for those workouts.
Gotcha.
Can be pretty rewarding. I mean, you're going to train anyway. Why
yeah.
not do it in the city where you play and get paid for it? So that was the most unique bonus I had.
Who writes those into the contract? Is it the team or the agent that kind of brings those things up?
Well, I know in New Orleans, it was the team. I know
okay.
Coach Payton was big on having everybody there, and the GM was like, hey, we'll pay guys if they stick around and build chemistry. So I know with bonuses like that, it's the team. But the new bonuses that teams are now doing with guys is active roster bonuses. So sometimes if you're not on the active roster, if you're one of the guys who stands in the street clothes on game day, you don't get paid. That's kind of the new thing teams are doing for game days is the active roster bonus.
I'd imagine the making a certain weight bonus, I'd imagine that's written in by the agent, right? Or is that the team? Like
I would imagine it's the team because
okay.
it's in the team's best interest if a guy stays under a certain weight and they don't get too out of control and now they're not on the hook for a guaranteed salary they don't want to pay. But, you know, for me, I as a player, I have a problem with a guy who needs to get $50,000
to
stay in playing weight.
It's your job.
It's absurd to me.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's your job. Like, and I almost feel like I'd be like, I have a contract here at 1620. If they wrote into my contract, like, it's your job to show up on, like, if you show up on time, we'll pay you X amount. Like, I mean, I don't know. It's like, to me, that's like the team saying, we don't trust you enough that you are going to handle your business, that we have to incentivize you handling your business like that.
No, it's exactly right. And it's a great comparison because that's what it's like. And I know if I was another guy about the same age as Eddie Lacy, who played running back, never had weight issues, and I can't get a job, but this guy is getting a job and getting a bonus on top of
right.
taking care of his body, I would have a big issue with that.
I heard Scott Chandler's my guest. I was listening to Jay Cutler talk about this on how sometimes it's known within the locker room if maybe a wide receiver has a bonus or if he gets X amount of catches or X amount of yards or touchdowns. And sometimes there could be some quarterbacks or some people that have that stuff in mind. Do you remember anything like that where it's like, you know, Breeze maybe knows if this guy, he needs a couple more catches to hit a bonus? Like, is that stuff even on people's mind?
Well, I do know this. Guys are usually up to speed on exactly where they stand in games. There's so many statisticians and guys a part of teams. They have every stat up to the second on the sideline. So if a guy needs a catch to break a record for that game for the organization, or especially contracts, guys know exactly where they stand, and they usually have people telling them. Now, it works the opposite way, too. I've seen guys not be involved in game plans because they're close to getting bonuses. So it's a double-edged sword.
Yeah. I also saw, if I'm not mistaken, I want to say in Gronk's new deal, there was a bonus if he played an X amount of games. And because he's been pretty injury-prone here, in some ways, is that maybe a dangerous path to go down? Because now you're almost incentivizing withholding injuries. You know what I mean? Like, rather than coming forward and saying, hey, I'm banged up, you know, I got two more games to play in and I get $100,000 or something like that. Is that a little dangerous to incentivize that?
Yeah, I think so. I think the one thing about the injury thing is it's probably season-ending injuries is what I would imagine is the language in those contracts. So season-ending injuries, even that can be a double-edged sword, because you might have guys who are just 100 miles an hour every play, and they don't do that anymore. They're not going to go clean guys off the pile. They're not going to go dive in there and try to get an assisted tackle because they're not going to get an unnecessary injury. So it's tough. When those individual bonuses start getting put in contracts, it changes the way guys play.
It's unbelievable. I remember I went and watched Barrett Rude play when he was with the Titans, and when I was watching him play, he had a torn labrum, and then he tore his groin. And he was still out there trying to play. He dropped back into coverage, Scott, and he had literally, God, I remember who the Denver quarterback was at the time, threw a pass, went right over his helmet, and all he had to do was raise his arms up to catch it, and he couldn't get his arm above his shoulder, so he couldn't get the pick. But it's amazing. I don't think sometimes people understand just how banged up you guys are as the course of the season rolls on.
Oh, there's no doubt. I mean, no NFL player, if you play or start, is 100%. I mean, after training camp, you're dealing with nagging things on a constant basis, and it's whoever can manage those things the best. And really, that's where the mental edge of the game comes in. The more you understand about the game, you're almost making plays before they even happen. So those things, injuries are tough to deal with, and no one ever goes for a season healthy.
Scott Chanley's my guest. Scott, I've been watching this NFL Network Top 100 Players of 2017, and they just finished it. I guess the question I have for you, you can't choose a quarterback. Give me your top, like the first couple guys that come to your mind, if every player was available, okay? Every player's available outside a quarterback. Give me your first couple of guys that you would pick to start a team with. I'm curious where you'd go with it.
Well, obviously, everyone is going to choose a quarterback, but if that's a handicap, I can't take quarterback.
Yep.
I look at a wide receiver position like Julio Jones. I think he's the best receiver in the game. Defensively, I would have to go with a guy like Von Miller, somebody who can put pressure on a quarterback and affect the game in so many different ways. They affect blocking schemes. They affect which way offenses run. And then I think you have to go cornerback. I think there's a couple really good quarterbacks, Peterson in Arizona, Jenkins with New York Giants. Those are, if I'm going defense, I'm going D-end or cornerback. Offensively, I would say Julio Jones is just a game-changing type player, no matter who the quarterback is.
In all things being equal, without knowing anything else, which team would you think is better suited for success over the course of an NFL season? A team with a great offensive line or a team with a great secondary?
Oh, I would have to go the offensive line. I think we saw that formula last year with Dallas. I think Ezekiel Elliott, I think he's a great player. I think Dak Prescott is a really good player. But that offensive line protected a lot of things with that team, and the offensive line can control a game. You can run the ball. You can manage the clock. So to me, if I had to choose, I'd go with the offensive line over the secondary.
Scott Chandler's my guest. I want to transition, talk a little Nebraska. I'm not sure how plugged in you were into to the daily sports kind of stories, but Keyshawn Johnson Jr. There was a joint decision between Keyshawn Johnson's father and the coaching staff that Keyshawn Johnson Jr. was going to go home for maybe 6 months to mature. He got caught with marijuana and drug paraphernalia in his dorm, and there's different reports on him not being the most responsible guy. How did that whole thing land for you as someone that understand kind of all that it takes to be successful at the Division I level?
Yeah, I think I was disappointed. I think anybody who's followed Nebraska football, they know what Keyshawn's son brought to the Nebraska program in terms of recruiting and building that pipeline to the West Coast. And he was a huge advocate for getting other guys to commit. and now he's not even there. And hopefully he does return, but it's very disappointing because it's negative news, and he had a big part of a lot of guys committing or getting interest in Nebraska. But for me, I would have liked to see him not go home.
Yeah.
I think at this point, as a dad, you've raised your kid. He's 18 years old. They should be mature by now. They shouldn't have to come home and be re-raised and then sent back off to the world. I would like to see him learn from his mistakes and let him continue to grow and stay on campus.
Hey, Scott, for you, and I don't know if you had any situations like this at Nebraska or, heck, maybe even in your time in the NFL, where do you draw that line as a teammate saying, I'm gonna support my teammate, I'm going to have his back, I'm going to try and bring him along, versus when they maybe cross that line of, man, this guy's just hurting us, man. He's not taking care of his business. He's not doing that. He's not doing this. Where do you draw that line for you?
Well, I think anytime the negative news starts to affect wins and losses, and it affects chemistry, and it affects guys taking sides, when that starts to happen, that's when it's time for, no matter how talented the player is, that's when it's time for that player to depart.
Right. Yeah, it's just, it's, you know, it's interesting. It's going to be, my guess is, I don't know what your, guys that leave don't typically come back. My read would be is I don't think he's going to come back.
Yeah, that's my fear too. I think the same thing. Anytime you're a young kid and you leave and you go back home, because let's face it, when you leave, go halfway across the country as a young kid, you're enrolling early, there's some part of you that's homesick, and yeah. I just hope he doesn't get too comfortable back in the West Coast and then commit to another school out there, because I think he's done great things for Nebraska in terms of recruiting. I'd like to see him finish what he started.
Hey, Scott, by the way, Bob Elliott, who was Nebraska brought on as their defensive backs coach, their secondary coach, safeties coach this year, and due to some health issues, he's had to be removed, and he's going to be just a defensive backs analyst, and there's going to be another guy that's going to be the safeties coach. And that makes now 8 different secondary coaches in 8 seasons. How hard is that? Like, how hard would it be if each year you had a different linebackers coach? Like, how important are position coaches in the grand scheme of things?
It's tough. It is really tough. I mean, that's a staggering number in a short amount of time.
Yeah.
And I was fortunate that I didn't have a whole lot of change at linebacker coach. And you learn what your coach is teaching every single year. They reteach it, and you just get better at what they're teaching. And every coach has different points of emphasis. They have different techniques. And as a player, you have to be open-minded and learn those things, but you never get used to doing something, and it doesn't become habit if you're changing
right.
the techniques every single year.
Scott Shanley, former black shirt, former Super Bowl champ, back from vacation. Scott, good stuff. Good to hear from you. We'll catch up next week.
All right. Sounds awesome. Take care.
Scott Shanley, former black shirt, former Super Bowl champ, breaking things down. I know for me, I think there's no question that continuity at the coordinator spot is the most important thing. I mean, just because ultimately they're the ones that are setting a lot of different things. But, I mean, when you're getting a different voice, a different face, a different verbiage slightly each and every year, that can be challenging. And it's good that that's probably going to be naturally the strength of the team this year. I think Nebraska's secondary is going to be strong. So it's nice that where there's a little bit of turnover, that's where they got some established, talented guys. But it's certainly interesting. Certainly an interesting thing to take a look at. 402-951-1620. 15 minutes away from the mailbag. Get your questions to Corey, C-O-R-E-Y, at 1620thezone.com. Anything you want to ask me, serious or silly, best email question is going to win lunch for 4 to Zio's. Let's take a break. About 45 minutes away from Ryan McGee of ESPN. Wide open in the 1 o'clock hour. Can email me, Nick, at 1620thezone.com, or hit me on Twitter, at Nick Baugh. Game time.